The Level Down Games podcast for February 24th, 2021 is presented by LevelDownGames.com. This is the Level Down Games Podcast. Welcome home. For the uninitiated, the Level Down Games Podcast is a weekly breakfast powwow amongst the crew at Level Down Games. I, this week, am your host, Kyle. Our normal host, Brian, could not make it this week, had some personal things to attend to, and so we'll excuse him as I take over the frontrunner chair this week. Probably only this week. But with me this week, co-host of Hit Our Music and All Elite Wrestling Podcast every Thursday, it's Dan.
What's going on, man? How does that chair feel?
I've never sat in a throne of such glory before as I have this morning.
It just glistens with all the gold and the glitter.
There's a lot of long strands of hair here.
Probably smells like weed a little bit.
I was about to say smells a little musky.
Oh, man. Yeah, what's going on, man? Good morning.
Good morning to you, my friend. Sean was unable to make it this morning, so we'll excuse him as well. Special shout out to Midnight Playtime and Neon Dan over on Twitter at Neon Dan TV for providing the music to the Level Down Games podcast. Go check him out over on Twitter and hit up his Bandcamp at midnightplaytime.bandcamp.com to listen to more really excellent synthwave vibes. We've got a really cool show lined up today. Lots of stuff. Probably the busiest week that we've had in a long time in terms of news and announcements. But I'm going to turn it over to you, Dan. You are going to talk a new game that you've been playing called Rogue Heroes Ruins of Tasos.
Yes, the embargo lifted as of time recording, it lifted yesterday. So I'm glad that I finally get to be
on
able
Friday.
To, yeah, I'm glad that I finally get to talk about this game because I have been loving my time with Rogue Heroes. It's your top down dungeon crawler, but it's got a little roguelike elements. It's kind of like a typical Zelda game. You kind of wake up, you start off with your sword and shield in hand. You're awakened in bed in your home by a guy named Griff. Kind of gives you, tells you what's going on. Of course, the land has been consumed by monsters. You kind of find out that there was these titans that sealed these dungeons, and you got to go back and you got to get the seals to go to the final one, to free the land of what's going on. So it's really cool. It's like it gave me a lot of Link to the Past vibes. If anybody that knows me, I'm a huge Zelda fan, so anytime any game has some Zelda-like qualities to it, I'm always interested.
I think that's kind of the intersection where everybody at Level Down Games meets up, is right at, the crossroads of Zelda. Everybody likes a good Zelda game, and I haven't played this game, Rogue Heroes, but I know that Brian has, and you actually, did you write a review for this?
I did. It will be posting, should be
very soon.
I know Brian's working on it.
Yep, and that's getting put together as a video review, I believe, and that should
it
go
is,
up on the
yes.
YouTube channel. And kudos to Brian getting all these video reviews together lately. It's a lot more work to put together one of those, but they've been going up. We've had a lot of those go up this year, so that looks pretty good.
Yeah, and he showed me how to capture some footage, so now I'll be able to, he won't have to go back and play the games, at least right. that I have done.
Just
so
to get footage for it.
Exactly, yeah. I was able to record some footage for him, so yeah, I'm excited to see what he puts together. It's a Zelda game, but it's got some roguelike elements as far as like the dungeons. You start off pretty much like right off the bat. It has you going to a dungeon. You have a map, but it's all covered with clouds, which is really cool. So you don't, you have to go to these areas before you actually see how the lay of the land is, which I really liked about that game. I don't like being able to have access right to the map and can kind of see everything. It's really nice because I love to explore. I'm like hacking at all the bushes. I'm lifting all the rocks. I'm looking, you know, through every nook and cranny to see.
You're pretty thorough when you play games, yeah.
I really am. It does take me a little bit longer because of that, but it's just it's something that's in my nature, and sometimes it pays off because there are secret caves and secret dungeons, actually, in this game that you can find to get other weapons and tools to kind of help you on your way.
Now, there's kind of a like a town building element to this game as well, isn't there?
There is. There's town building, and there's you can also do some farming.
Okay.
So, yeah, when you go in these dungeons, you earn gems, and gems and coins are pretty much your two currencies in this game. Coins are kind of used in dungeons. You can unlock chests with them, and they give you more gems, which I highly recommend. The farther into the game you get, the dungeons give you more gems. But then you turn around and you use these gems and you buy upgrades. You go to Griff, who is this like master carpenter and can put things up in like 5 seconds after you buy it. But you can buy like a hospital, and you can go in there, and that's where you can improve your health and your magic. I mean, there's like skill trees. It's very in depth for such a simple game. It's very in depth because you can actually you can improve your, you know, it's like you don't have hearts. You have a health bar and a magic bar, but you can improve on those. But one thing that I actually really liked as well is you have a stamina bar. So you can't just keep swinging your sword like you could in other like Zelda games and stuff like that. You actually kind of have to be mindful of your stamina. Now you can buy a weightlifting building in your town, and there's this guy just pumping iron like crazy. And
that's
you go
me.
Up to him and exactly. That's what I should say. It's Kyle.
Yeah.
And you go to Kyle and you spend gems and you again, it's a skill tree, and you work on improving your stamina, whether it recovers faster. You get like a few more whacks of the sword before there's like a piece of pie over your head, and it's, you know, split up in eighths. And so every whack of the sword, anytime you like lift a rock, if you use your shield to block, that takes stamina. So, I mean, it's very like detailed in that sense, but any other tools you get, there's skill trees for it. You spend gems to improve it. You know, like most Zelda games, you do get a grappling hook later on in this game. You can actually spend gems to improve how far it reaches, how fast it comes out and goes back. So, I mean, it's crazy detailed, but yeah, you can buy houses, just empty houses in your town, because you will come across people throughout your travels in the land of Tassos. And people are looking for a place, and they will come to your town, and you can do side quests for them and help, you know, find other things, again, to help your quest later on down the road. So it's first a very simple game. There's a lot of detail to it, and I really enjoyed being able to – you can kind of cater your play style because there are also classes that you can unlock. Like, you started out as a regular guy, and it has, like, three bars, and it's your – you know, how good your sword is, how fast you move, and your magic. So every time you unlock a class – there's like a mage, so you might actually that class. If you want to do more magic, his magic is a little bit stronger, but maybe his sword slashing isn't as strong. So you can really there's I think 8 different classes. You can really cater to your play style, and each one of these classes has like a special power that they can do. Whether it's turn invincible and evade enemies, like if you're getting rushed, or maybe use some brute force. I mean, there's so much detail, and it really can cater to the kind of play style that you want, and it's absolutely ridiculous how detailed it is in that sense.
You know, this comes out on February 23rd. It comes out on Tuesday of this week, and it's going to be $19.99. I know it's coming to Steam and to the Switch. I don't know if it's coming to PlayStation or Xbox. I don't think it is.
At least not
I don't
right
think
now.
So either yet. But it really does look like a neat game. I think it's a game that I am going to pick up eventually. And I know that it's also playable up to 4 players.
I was just going to say, it is. And we can multiplayer.
You didn't get any of the multiplayer in, did you?
No, I didn't because, you know, since I had early access to the game and it was embargoed, I couldn't play with any, you know, anybody. But yeah, you can play up to 4 players. It's kind of like reminiscent of, was it Four Swords Zelda?
Right, Four Swords Adventures, yeah.
Yep. So, okay. Yeah, it would be cool to dive in because there are puzzle elements, you know, to the dungeons. So, and when you go in and select how you play, you can, you know, you're picking single player or co-op. So I'm assuming the game might be a little bit different, the dungeons and puzzles anyway, when you have more players, which would be really cool to, you know, jump in with you guys and see how you guys like it and see how the puzzle elements really change. But it's a lot of fun.
Have you been playing on Steam or on the Switch?
I played on Steam. I had no bug crashes, no nothing, which was kind of a change of pace because, you know, the last time I was on, we talked Blue Fire and there was all kinds of bug crashes, which I think they fixed.
Okay, so they did put out a patch for Blue Fire and I've jumped back into it since then and have had no crashes since that patch came out because, man, it was genuinely bad. Unplayable for me for a while.
Yeah, it was rough to get through, but I enjoyed that. But this Rogue Heroes was great. No bugs, no game crashes, no nothing. I was able to play issues. Yeah, and had a ton of fun, and I highly, highly recommend it. I know it's early, but it's my indie game of the year so far.
Okay. I like that. I like
that's
that.
How
mine,
much I enjoyed
mine
it.
So far, I think still goes to Cyber Shadow. I really enjoyed that game, but I do think this is a game that I'm going to pick up eventually. I know I've got a little bit of time coming off, and I'm going to be kind of stuck in a hotel room for a little while for some personal reasons, just for a couple days in maybe a month or two. And this is a game that might get me through those couple of days. So I'll have to look into that.
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, it's a ton of fun. The farming, the city building, just the little elements, you know, on top of being like a Zelda-like game was a ton of fun.
Well, like I said, this is a huge week, probably the biggest week we've had in a long time in terms of announcements and news. But one of the things that happened just yesterday in terms of times of recording, it was on February 19th, Friday, was BlizzCon. BlizzCon Line premiered online. And Brian and I were able to sit down and we did a live reaction video on YouTube and on Twitch of the opening ceremonies. And then I kind of took off after the opening ceremonies. Brian went on and kept streaming through some of the panels and got into a little bit more of the deeper nitty gritty about some of the stuff that was announced. But this was, you know, kind of a middle of the road BlizzCon, I think. It didn't really shake up the foundations of the Blizzard world, but there was some really neat stuff that was announced, and they started off the announcements with a Blizzard Arcade Classics, and it had three of their old games, but including which was Rock and Roll Racing and Lost Vikings, which are two games that Blizzard made, you know, 30 years ago or 29 years ago, something like that. They were on the Super Nintendo and the Sega Genesis, these arcade type games, and I played Lost Vikings so much growing up, and I've actually played it semi-recently. It's a game that I enjoy. I think it was huge at its time in terms of what it was able to accomplish and playing three different characters at once, but it was so much fun, and that's actually available now on the Battle.net app. Anybody that had ever purchased an anniversary pack of any of their games got this Arcade Classics for free, and it has things that you would expect from like modern iterations of games like this that are restored. It has the rewind function, a save and reload function, you know, things like that that you would see on like the NES Online or something like that.
Okay.
And so it kind of brings those in. They scaled up to bigger resolutions so that you can actually play them on a, you know, a widescreen TV now or something like that. But it's, that was kind of a cool way to open it because this is Blizzard's 30th anniversary. And so they tried to do some things in order to celebrate the history of Blizzard. And it's been an up and down history. I think it's been more down lately over the last few years. Activision has been kind of this all-controlling hand over the Blizzard IPs over the last few years, and I think most fans have been a little dismayed with how that's been handled. That being said, overall, they still put out a really good product, and they're a company that I've been so invested in their lore and their universes for so many years now that I'm not just going to give it up. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, it's been with you most of your life, right? You've been playing games that this
StarCraft,
company has
Warcraft
come...
2.
See, and I played
Diablo.
Warcraft before it became, like, World of Warcraft. I remember playing Warcraft 1 and 2 on PC, you know, way back. And I played a little bit of StarCraft, too. Those are really fun games. I never really got into the World of Warcraft. Like, I know you guys,
We all still play, yeah.
Yeah.
We all
still play. I mean, it's crazy, right? I mean, just, you know, just think of how many people out there have been playing this game for... so many years. So I mean, you know, it's really cool to be able to celebrate the 30 years. I mean, that's so crazy.
Well, speaking of World of Warcraft, that was the next segment, and we went into the Warcraft universe. They talked about the new update that's coming out for World of Warcraft Shadowlands, which is called Chains of Domination, and it involves going back into the Maw and Torghast, which has been this kind of roguelike dungeon experience where you get so many deaths and it changes every time you go through it, and you have to collect these soul ash out of it in order to power up your weapons and things. It's getting a whole bigger dungeon in the upcoming update, and it looks pretty neat. There's a lot of really cool, unique things that they're adding into it. They're giving new mounts. Flying is being added to the Shadowlands, and so you can actually get on your flying mounts again. And that's something they usually do. They make you run around for a few months in the new expansion, and then they say, all right, now you can fly. You have to unlock flying again. But that's finally coming. And then they announced, I think, what everybody expected, but also everybody was waiting for, and that's World of Warcraft Classic is going to be adding the Burning Crusade Classic. And Brian and I talked about the Burning Crusade on last week's episode of BG Mania, where we went through some of the music and we just kind of reminisced about playing this first expansion pack to World of Warcraft and really what I consider the golden age of World of Warcraft. I think this is probably the best expansion that has ever released for World of Warcraft, and there's been a lot now, but I think that this one's probably my favorite, and it represents the time in which I was most invested and most involved in World of Warcraft, because there were so many neat little additions that they put into the game, like arena battles and some world PvP targets, and flying first came in to World of Warcraft in the Burning Crusade. And so people are really, really excited to finally get the Burning Crusade. They did announce that it will be this year, did not give a release date. So I imagine probably in August is when we see the Burning Crusade release. That's when World of Warcraft Classic released 2 years ago. Well, a year and a half ago from now, but it will be 2 years since the Classic release. And so that kind of seems to make the most sense to me. I don't know if that will be the case, but we'll see going forward. I'm really, really excited. They are making a few small changes in the Burning Crusade. One of them is they're making the paladins on Horde and Alliance equal. They all get the same spells. There was one spell that was reserved for Horde, one for Alliance, and now both of the factions get both of those spells now. So that's actually a really good change, I think. Competitively, the Horde paladins were always much stronger than the Alliance paladins, and so that's gone now. But this is going to be my newest obsession coming out of this summer, is sitting down and playing Burning Crusade again, and doing, I think, both the max level content and the Twink content, the level 49 PvP content, which I was so fond of back in the day. I know I'll have a lot of friends playing it, and so this is going to be kind of a very nostalgic for me, going back into this Outlands and this Burning Crusade expansion with my friends again. It's going to be a lot of fun. Well,
and that, you know, I think that's one thing that kind of, you know, shows with the World of Warcraft community is, like you said, you have a lot of friends. When I first started playing Destiny, I had a lot of friends play Destiny, but as time has gone on, I think really now the only other person that I know that plays Destiny in that group when we started out was my brother-in-law. So, I mean, it's really cool that you still know that you have, like, these group of friends that you can jump in and you guys can, you know, reminisce and still have a good time with the game. You know, even though I know it's kind of faltered and it's kind of hasn't hit some people's expectations with the content that they've released recently, but you know, it's nice to be able to just have that, you know, that hardcore group that's still passionate about this game and wants to see it do well.
One of the things that they did announce that they're going to do is current characters that are on Classic servers, you will have the option to either remain on a purely Classic server without any expansions, or you can transfer that character onto a Burning Crusade server, which is really cool. You can also, and I don't, there's been a lot of debate about this. I think it's probably okay, but you can pay to clone your character. So you can clone that character, leave him on the Classic server, but also have a copy of that character on a Burning Crusade server. It is a paid service.
Did they say how much?
No, they have not announced how much. And they're also letting people buy boosted characters. You can boost a character up to level 58, and the level cap in Burning Crusade is 70. So you can pay to have a boosted character on one of these Burning Crusade servers and then jump right into the Burning Crusade content. that was not something that was originally in Burning Crusade either, and so there's been some debate about that. But overall, I think these are really good changes. I like that you don't have to be forced into Burning Crusade. You can stay in Classic if you want to, and if you really want to, you can take that character in two different places, which is really, really helpful for a lot of people.
Yeah, and then if they come in, you know, not so crazy with a price point, then you can just clone your character and then have them in each one, right?
Oh, yeah. Now, the price point will probably be a little high. Their character services are usually a little pricey, but that's because people pay them.
Of course, yeah. I mean, they're you know, they're charging what they know the market will pay.
Final thing that was announced, and final big announcement, there were some Hearthstone announcements, but the final big announcement was in the Diablo section of the opening ceremonies when they talked a little bit about Diablo 4 and talked about a new class that's going to release. There was this very gory trailer, and it's the Rogue class back from old Diablo days. And it seems to be this hybrid, quick attacking melee character, but also a lot of range attacks. Looks like a really fun character. They did show some gameplay of it, and it's a character that really got me back interested into Diablo 4. We haven't seen anything on Diablo 4 since BlizzCon 2019, and so seeing some more gameplay footage, it just looks like a really, really fun and innovative action RPG that I know that I'll be jumping into. And I think a lot of people I know will be jumping into that because, man, that looks like a really, really fun game. But they also announced Diablo 2 Resurrected, which is this full HD remaster of Diablo 2. Supposedly, it plays exactly the same as the original Diablo. Probably a couple of quality of life changes. All of the textures have been redone, and it looks totally beautiful. If you haven't seen the trailer for Diablo 2 Resurrected yet, go check it out. It's up for pre-purchase now, and they did announce that it will be out this year. And I believe it's $39.99 on pre-purchase. They also announced that it's going to be on pretty much every console imaginable. It'll be on the Switch, it'll be on the Xbox and PlayStation, PC, and cross saves, cross progression, cross play with people on other platforms, which is huge because play games like this on PC. But now, you know, I'm kind of thinking, well, this might be kind of fun to play on my PlayStation sitting on my couch. Or is it something that I want to play on the go on my Switch? I don't know. I haven't decided where I'm going to get this yet, but it's something that I'll definitely be picking up because I'm going to want to play this with a lot of my friends. I know that Brian and Sean will probably jump in. I don't know if you like Diablo,
I've never played a Diablo game, no.
Ah, well, maybe now's the time.
Maybe now is the time.
So there were some really great announcements that came out of BlizzCon, I think. But overall, kind of a fun show. Go check out the reaction video that we did live. It's over on youtube.com/leveldowngames. I don't know if he saved the VOD on the Twitch channel. You can check that out, too. Head over there, twitch.tv/leveldowngames. And we were live on both of those, and we both got to kind of live react to those. And you can see the excitement in both of our faces when Diablo 2 Resurrected came out. But you know, Dan, since Brian isn't here, I figured one of the things we could start doing without him here is taking live callers. So we're going to go to the lines real quick, taking a live caller to the show for the first time ever on the Level Down Games podcast. Caller number one, you're on the air.
Wait, you didn't think you'd get through a whole show without me, did you? Yeah, so I'm calling in today to the old LDG podcast. I'm sorry that I wasn't able to be on the entire recording of the podcast. Dan and Kyle are doing a fantastic job thus far. And before they get to the Sean Waltman lightning round for the episode today, I kind of wanted to jump in here and just talk a little bit about, first of all, I guess why I'm not on the show. I don't know if I haven't edited it together yet. So maybe they said, maybe they didn't. I have had the same dog basically for over 16 years now. I'm talking about Gizmo, my Pekingese. I got him when, man, I hadn't even turned 21 years old yet. And I remember telling that story on an episode of a podcast. I don't know which podcast it actually was, but I got him in January of 2007, and he was born October 30th of 2006. So he was like a little over 3 months when I got him, and I got him the second week of January, so it was like 2 weeks before I turned 21. So he's basically seen half of my life and a good chunk of like some really important parts of my life. And it's been really hard for both me and Jessica the last few weeks, and more specifically the last couple of days, because his life is just winding down and it's becoming more apparent, and it's really tough to deal with and hard to see. You know, you have something for 16 years. It's crazy. So Friday going into Saturday, like, you know, typically, I guess this would have been early Saturday morning. It was around 4 a.m. He was asleep, and he's like, again, he's 16 years old. And because he's a little dog, he has a little problems like with his joints and his legs and that kind of stuff. So we give him like joint and medicine, like the little pills or tablets or whatever that help with that. But every now and then when he gets up or when he's walking for too long, he'll let you know, and he'll have like the sound of pain, and it's not a constant pain yet. So we're hoping that maybe, you know, we still have a little time with him left, but you can definitely tell that, you know, he's slowing down. So it's tough to see. But anyway, I was awake from like 4 a.m. until almost 8 a.m. Saturday. And we typically record at 10 a.m. my time. And I hadn't really been asleep yet. You know, I'd only slept for maybe an hour or two by that point. And, you know, obviously I was a little emotional and just really wasn't feeling in the mood to sit down and record the show at our normal time when we normally do. So that's why I'm not here on the actual episode. But if I was here, the game that I was going to chat about was Hitman 3. Now, I just picked it up the other day, so I haven't gotten that far into it yet. But I have done the first mission. And one of the things that I typically do when I play through the Hitman games, and I guess more specifically, this is probably true of just the most recent trilogy of Hitman games, starting with Hitman in 2016 and then Hitman 2 in 2018. But I really like playing through the stages over and over and over again, because there's so many different ways to take out your targets. So what's cool that they did with this trilogy of Hitman games is that after you purchased the first one, you were able to carry over all of your progress and all of your stuff to the second one. And even so much so that, like, when you booted up the second game, the menu basically had, you know, the stages and the story missions and all that stuff from the first game as its own tab. Hitman 3 carries that as well. So you have your tab for like Hitman 1, all of the stuff, content that was in that. Hitman 2, all the missions and content that were in that. And then, of course, everything for Hitman 3. So the first mission in the game is the one that takes place in Dubai. And it's on this tower that is like a, I guess it's modeled after that super giant tower over there in Dubai, the Burj Khalifa. You start out on there and you go into the actual tower, and you're basically infiltrating this inauguration ceremony for this tower. And you have two targets inside of, you know, the area, and verticality is really cool. So you have multiple different floors you can go to and explore. What I really like doing is trying to figure out like all of the different ways that you can take out your targets. And it's cool because individual like plot lines and stories and narratives that you normally might not see unfold depending on how you either choose to approach the situation, I guess, or how you ultimately end up taking out the targets, especially if you take out one before the other, because, you know, some of the AI and the NPCs will start adapting to situations and things like that, which is really cool to see. But I jump in there and, you know, the game, as you kind of walk in, it's sort of, I mean, it is the first mission, so it's guiding a little bit, but it, you know, you stumble upon this, I guess, clue unfolding. And what most people would probably do is dress as this character. And I'm trying not to give anything away. The game did just come out about a month ago, so I know a lot of people are still playing through it, and I don't want to give too much away. So you're dressing as a specific character, disguised as him, after you figure out a way to either, you know, knock him out or properly dispose of him. But you take the disguise, which is his clothes that he was wearing, and you're able to sneak into this meeting that he was supposed to attend. And, you know, you can choose to take out one of the targets that way. So I did that the first time, and then I found a way to, you know, get this other character out onto the patio to play golf. And you can get like an exploding ball, and it'll actually, like, you know, take the target out that way when they go to swing and hit the ball and it explodes. You can find a vial of poison and poison the water and watch the kind of like trickle effect down from that. I managed to find a way to gather a like security guard, or I guess it would probably be more realistically like a military-esque type of person, because he had like a giant gun on his back. But I found a way to get one of their disguises and was able to pretty much go wherever at that point. So I was able to explore everything that I wasn't able to see, including like the security room, and even find out more information. But I was able to get both characters into the same room that I was able to like then close off the room and shut it down, basically. And I just pulled out the gun and shot them both. So there's so many different ways that you can choose to take out the targets. And I think that's what I like most about the Hitman games. Like I said, especially the more recent three. So I've probably played through that first mission a good four or five times now. And that's what I do. I play through each one. There's six new missions and locations to explore in Hitman 3. There's Dubai, there's Dartmoor over in England, Berlin, Chongqing, Mendoza, and somewhere in Romania. So the locations are definitely cool and interesting. I'm excited to get further into this. And I like seeing just the different ways and the different like stuff that'll unfold when you're dressed as certain characters. And I don't know, it's cool. I really like that aspect of these games. And I think that's sort of unique to the Hitman series, where you can, you know, put on all these different disguises, especially for a stealth game like that. So, well, I appreciate you guys letting me call into the podcast, even though I'm not on the official episode today. I'm going to kick it back over to Dan and Kyle, so that way they can go into the lightning round and get this show really going. Take care, guys. I'll see you next week.
Hello, everybody. It's Kyle from the Media Files. And if you don't know what the Media Files is, what are you even doing? The Media Files is a pop culture review to help you get through those boring water cooler conversations. Every episode, a special guest and I will be talking about something happening in pop culture, whether it's movies, television, music, books, sports, video games, you name it, we'll talk about it. Subscribe to the Media Files on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you there.
And we're going to pop right into a Sean Waltman lightning round. We have kind of a packed Sean Waltman lightning round this week. Like I said, I think this was a bigger week for news, one of the biggest weeks for news, even leaving out our main discussion later on and the BlizzCon announcements from yesterday. So still a lot of things to talk about. I'll take the first one here. 10 minutes on the clock, starting now. Exit Plan Games have announced Bang On Balls Chronicles, a 3D platforming game with a collect-a-thon spin. It will launch in Early Access via Steam on March 3rd. The Early Access version of the game will feature tons of collectibles to discover across numerous uniquely themed levels. The game is about 25% complete for planned content and 50% complete for planned features. The team hopes to have the game fully released in Q4 2022. Did you see the trailer for this?
I did.
This looks like, I don't know how to describe it. It's balls, but they're characters, and it kind of had like a platforming feel to it, but also kind of like a Marble Madness / Super Monkey Ball feel to it.
Yeah, Marble Madness and Super Monkey Ball is like two games I really enjoyed. So I'm really excited for this game. Definitely will be checking it out early access for sure.
It looks really, really neat. Q4 2022, it's still a ways out from its, you know, projected completion date, but something that I think everybody should check out. This looks like a really fun, really silly game.
What a name, too. Bang on balls.
Bang on balls, baby. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, Microsoft has revealed the next batch of Xbox Game Pass editions. Last Thursday, Code Vein was added for PC, Pillars of Eternity 2, Deadfire Ultimate Edition was added for console, and Wreckfest was added for console and PC. Tomorrow, Killer Queen Black will be added for console, and on Thursday, Dirt 5 will be added for console and PC. Elite Dangerous will be available on console, and Super Hot Mind Control Delete will be available on PC. Leaving Xbox Game Pass on Wednesday is Dirt 4, and this Sunday, Mama Dora, Reverie Under the Moonlight, Mother Russia Bleeds, Oxenfree, The Jackbox Party Pack 4, and Vambrace Cold Soul will also be departing the service.
Yeah, lots of new games coming. I think Code Vein is a huge addition to the service. That was a game that came out some months ago, and people really seemed to enjoy Code Vein. A lot of people liked that game. And the other one that stands out to me, Killer Queen Black, was kind of this arcade game that I know a lot of people really got into and looked like a lot of fun. I never played it, but now it's on Game Pass. I mean, why wouldn't I?
And again, I mean, that's the great thing with Game Pass is that you can check games out that you, you know, are 50-50 on, or, you know, maybe you're just curious about. Now you can download it, check it out. And if you don't like it, no money out of your pocket.
For sure. Microsoft also has announced a new system feature for Xbox Series X and Series S titled FPS Boost that will boost the frame rate of select titles when played through backwards compatibility. The new feature will employ a variety of methods to nearly double, and in a few instances, quadruple the original frame rate of certain games. The first five games available for FPS Boost are Far Cry 4, New Super Lucky's Tale, which runs at up to 120 FPS, Sniper Elite 4, UFC 4, which runs at 60 FPS, and Watch Dogs 2. More titles will support FPS Boost in the future, and in a system update planned for this spring, users will be able to go into the Manage Game section for any title and toggle FPS Boost via the Compatibility Options button. This is really cool. Kind of just a little sprinkling of their smart delivery service that they've done with the series consoles, of just bringing these older titles into a newer age with an FPS boost. Really intuitive. I think that's a neat service that they're offering.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and we've talked about, you know, with Xbox Series X not having a lot of, like, exclusives, it's nice to be able for them to, you know, go back and get these older games and have an FPS boost to them to kind of enhance them and make them play a little better. With all the talk about BlizzCon Online and Diablo 2 and 4, let's not forget about Baldur's Gate 3. Larian Studios has revealed Patch 4, Nature's Power, for the early access version of BG3, which includes the game's first new playable class since launch, the Druid. A number of additional updates and quality of life improvements are planned for Patch 4, but a release window was not yet announced.
This is really cool. I've not jumped into Baldur's Gate 3 yet. I believe Brian did in the early access when it came out last year, but I've heard nothing bad about Baldur's Gate 3 so far. Everybody says it's just a really, really great time.
Baldur's Gate 3, but I don't think I've ever played a Baldur's Gate game.
Larian Studios are the same ones that make, like, Divinity Original Sin. They're these over-the-top character RPGs that Techie Geek, I know he freaking loves them.
Yeah.
These are the type of games he really gets into. So I just hate jumping into early access games. This is a game that I will probably pick up at full release. According to a VGC report, we'll soon be seeing the reemergence of Silent Hill and other Konami IPs as the company finally begins to make some moves for their franchises. The VGC report states first that Konami has outsourced a Silent Hill project to a prominent Japanese developer, which will be announced this summer. That has me very interested. I wonder who that could be. At the same time, a new interview with the CEO of Bloober Team, the studio behind the recently released horror game The Medium, has been working on a horror IP with a very famous gaming publisher for over a year, which has led to speculation of two Silent Hill games currently being in production, one at Bloober Team with Konami Publishing, and one with the prominent Japanese developer, since Bloober Team is based in Poland. Apparently, Konami initially approached Supermassive Games, the studio behind Until Dawn and the more recent Dark Pictures anthology games, to reboot Silent Hill, but they ultimately turned down the pitch. Separate sources also told VGC that the Japanese Silent Hill project is something of a departure from past Silent Hill games. Interestingly enough, Akira Yamaoka, the composer for both Silent Hill and the medium, recently teased that his next project would be revealed by summer. Finally, the report from VGC went on to note that Konami also has plans to work with external studios on both the Castlevania and Metal Gear Solid franchises, but that any potential releases regarding these two IPs are currently years away. That's really exciting about Silent Hill. I wish we had more info on upcoming Castlevania and Metal Gear, because I really like both of those, probably more than I like Silent Hill. But still, having a resurgence of the Silent Hill franchise is a lot to look forward to.
Yeah, I know a lot of people got excited when, what, was it the demo they got released and then it was taken off? Am I correct on that?
Yeah, so there was a tech demo. It wasn't really a demo. It was more like like alpha gameplay that got leaked out, and it was, everybody really loved it, but it got canned apparently. So
I mean there's a lot of big named games in that news article that I know a ton of people are excited for. I'm definitely intrigued with Castlevania for sure. Metal Gear, I played the first few. I haven't played the last few, but it is something I would like to jump into and kind of get up to date on those for sure.
I haven't played the last few Metal Gear games. I know that Metal Gear Solid 5 was very widely acclaimed as a super great open world action stealth type game, you know, but it looked like a lot of fun. I watched people play it and it looked really silly, the things that you could pull off in that game, but I never got around to playing it, and I think that I'll have to eventually, because that is really, really cool to bring those back.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, there's a lot of big names that people are going to be super excited for in that news article.
Definitely. But that is it for the Sean Waltman Lightning Round, and we are going to move in to a little new release roulette. Now, obviously, Brian's not here, and he has this super secret diary that he keeps locked up with a key, and that's got all of the scores and Metacritics and everything that he keeps locked away from all of us so that we can't cheat on the Metacritic game. So, unfortunately, I don't know what the Metacritic scores are from last week, and I don't know what they turned out to be on the games from last week. I could go back and listen to the last week's podcast, but I don't have the time to do that now. So we're just going to forego the scores from last week. Maybe next week he'll go back and do a double week, add everybody's points together, and whoever sucked the most gets kicked off the podcast. But
Wow.
Yeah, you know, I think the stakes need to be upped a little bit. Well, now that I'm here, I'm changing all the rules.
I know, man. That throne you're sitting
in
is going straight to
intoxicating.
Your head. Yeah.
But we do have a lot of really cool, really big games that a lot of people have been looking forward to coming out this week. Number one, releasing on Tuesday for PC, PS4, and Nintendo Switch, it is Persona 5 Strikers. Join the Phantom Thieves and strike back against the corruption overtaking cities across Japan. A summer vacation with close friends takes a sudden turn as a distorted reality emerges. Reveal the truth and redeem the hearts of those imprisoned at the center of the crisis. This is the, I believe it's the Musou game that's Persona 5 themed, and it's actually, like, story-wise, I think a sequel to Persona 5. Not
okay.
Gameplay wise, but I know that Brian is just through the roof about this game. He's gonna have a lot to say about this once he finally picks it up. Game number two, Curse of the Dead Gods, releasing on PC, PS4, Xbox One, Nintendo Switch on Tuesday. You seek untold riches, eternal life, divine powers. It leads to this accursed temple, a seemingly infinite labyrinth of bottomless pits, deadly traps, and monsters. Your greed will lead you to death, but that is not an escape. Rise to fight again. Delve deeper again. Defy the malignant deities that linger in this place. Battle through hordes of enemies in dark, cavernous passages filled with traps and secrets of all sorts, fire-spewing statues, explosives, hidden spikes, and worse. Collect mystical relics and an arsenal of weapons to make yourself unstoppable. Corruption builds in you with every step. Encourage or ignore it, but each powerful curse can be a double-edged sword. Have you seen this game? Have you watched the trailer for this one?
I have not. I'm actually looking it up right now. I'm kind of interested in this game.
This game looks really, really cool, and I expect, you know, it's, I think it's only $19.99 when it releases. I expect multiple of us here to actually pick up this game because, wow, this game looks really, really neat.
It's kind of giving me like a Hades vibe just looking at like the art style and stuff like
that. Yeah, it's a roguelite. Looks a lot like Hades. I think we'll probably play a lot like Hades, but looks to have this really in-depth like combat system to it that I think a lot of people are really going to enjoy, especially coming off of Hades last year. This is going to be a game that a lot of people look forward to. Game number three, releasing on PC and Nintendo Switch on Tuesday, Rogue Heroes Ruins of Tasos. Rogue Heroes is a four-player classic adventure game with modern roguelite elements. A dark evil stirs beneath the once peaceful land of Tasos. Deep within the four great dungeons, the ancient seals that hold the Titans at bay are gravely weakened, and their minions have unleashed terror upon the world. The goddesses who forged the seals long ago have made a desperate plea for a band of heroes to come forth and save the people from a terrible fate. Team up with friends to combat procedural dungeons, explore an expansive overworld full of secrets, and take down the Titans to save the once peaceful land of Tasos. This is the game we already talked about. There should be a review up for this video review, penned by Dan, recorded by Brian, up really soon at youtube.com/leveldowngames.
Yeah, again, highly recommend it. Can't talk enough about it. Just a great little game, and I absolutely loved it.
Game number four, coming on Wednesday to Nintendo Switch, it's Ghosts and Goblins Resurrection. Watch as this nostalgic yet completely reimagined storybook world unravels before your very eyes, taking cues from both Ghosts and Goblins and Ghouls and Ghosts, and giving birth to something entirely new. Resurrection is a title worthy of its name. Don't be fooled. This picturesque storybook world, while gorgeous, is a love letter to the original titles and maintains the same punishing gameplay that fans have come to expect. So go on and test your mettle, for the gauntlet has been thrown. I really like the storybook, like they said, the storybook style animation and presentation of this game. I think it looks super cool. I don't know if I'll pick it up right away, but man, this looks like fun. It looks like a good time to jump back into that old Ghost and Goblins world again.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, this was on arcade. I was a big arcade gamer early on in my days. So yeah, this is definitely something that's on my radar. Like you said, I probably won't pick it up right away, but for $30, I'll probably definitely pick it up sooner rather than later.
Game number five, coming to Nintendo Switch on Thursday, it's Bravely Default 2. Search for the four crystals in this beautiful heroic tale. Save the continent of Excellent with the help of new heroes of light. Follow the story of the young sailor Seth as he sets out on a grand adventure and meets plenty of friends and foes along the way. This new RPG adventure features striking visuals that create unforgettable and detailed scenery to explore. Balance risk and reward in strategic turn-based battles. Choose Brave to use multiple actions at once, but risk forfeiting your next turn. Choose Default to go on the defensive and build up Brave points to use later. Balance is key. Choose from a wide array of jobs, skills, and abilities for your party to fit your battle strategy. Seth, Gloria, Elvis, and Adele, that sounds like a band, known as the Heroes of Light, can learn jobs like Bard or Vanguard by defeating Asterisk bosses. Use these skills to your advantage along with the Brave and Default system to save all of Excellent. Now, I never played Bravely Default or Bravely Second, but I know that those are very highly regarded JRPGs. They were both on the 3DS, I believe. And not a game that I think I'll pick up initially, but Square Enix is always to be trusted with their JRPGs.
Oh, and of course, yeah.
I don't think the Bravely series is any different in that regard. Finally, game number six, coming on Thursday to PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch, it's Retromania Wrestling. Retromania Wrestling is the official sequel to the classic arcade game WrestleFest that was released in 1991 by Technos of Japan. Retromania Wrestling will be a pick-up-and-play arcade wrestling game with beautiful 2D sprites, incredible backgrounds, and fast-paced arcade-style gameplay. Featuring 16 wrestlers at the start and more planned later via DLC, 2-8-player local multiplayer with online arriving after launch, several match types including one-on-one, tag team, steel cage, and battle royales, story mode with the 10 pounds of gold, ring entrances with music, multiple entrance attire for each wrestler, crowd chants that react to the action in the ring, and more. Dan, how you feel about Retromania Wrestling?
I mean, it's definitely something I want to pick up. It tugs on them old school wrestling game vibes for sure. They do have, you know, there are some characters that obviously probably aren't owned by WWE that are actually going to be in the game. And then there's going to be some characters that have the likeness of characters from WWE, you know, because like I
oh,
said,
sure.
they couldn't use it. But no, I mean, there's some AEW wrestlers. We got Tommy Dreamer in there, Cole Cabana, Nick Aldis from NWA, the Road Warriors, Hawk and Animal are going to be in this game. So, no, I think this is definitely something I'm going to pick up for sure. Like I said, it tugs on that old school wrestling heartstrings, and I'm very interested in this.
Okay, so for Persona 5 Strikers, I'm just making up numbers. I don't know how Brian comes up with the numbers that he does, but he's darn good at it.
He is good.
So let's see how I do. Persona 5 Strikers, I'm going with an 85. Curse of the Dead Gods, 80. Rogue Heroes, Ruins of Tasos, I'm going with an 81. Ghost and Goblins Resurrection, I'm going with 76. Bravely Default 2, I'm going with an 83. And Retromania Wrestling, 73. While Dan gets his bets figured out, let's jump to a preview of BG Mania, a video game music podcast.
But it was a really active community and a really active scene that was a lot of fun to be a part of. And I played a Draenei mage that at one point, there weren't a lot of mages that were good. Mm-hmm. And it was me and two other mages. There was a mage named Flolala, and there was a mage named Death Florist. And then there was me. And at one point, they ranked the best of every class in our battle group on the message boards.
Mm-hmm.
And I got picked as the best mage. And I was like, I'm a freaking celebrity. I thought I was incredible.
That's awesome.
And then I moved to Japan and had to quit playing. But I stayed as the best mage for 6 months without playing my character.
Okay, I'm going to go 15 over on Rogue Heroes because I won't give away my score. I'll let you read it in the review, but I did have it a little higher than your 81. So I'm going to go 15 over on Rogue Heroes, and I'm going to have some faith that Retromania Wrestling scores over that 73, and I'm going to go 15 over on Retromania Wrestling.
I might have put both of those too low, but I don't know because I don't know how to do this. So you may be like... a billion points next week. We'll see.
Oh, what can I spend
and
those on?
Adam with the points he got last week, who the hell knows what it's going to look like, man?
That is true. Well, I didn't play last week, but 2 weeks ago, I know that I kicked some serious ass. I will say that.
Yeah, you did. Barely. But yeah. I mean, everybody was right 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, we actually, that's a rare occasion, right? We all had a shit. I think, didn't you have all your points? You doubled your points and still lost.
Yeah. Lost.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Freaking losers. That's because you guys both got dead on stuff, and then you overbet Sean by a point on a dead on, and so...
Hey, gotta play the system.
Gotta play the game, bud. Well, you're playing with yourself today, but hey, it's like Saturday. Saturdays are for, right?
Yep, playing with yourself.
Playing with yourself. Not only did Brian do a live stream reaction to BlizzCon with me on Friday, but we also got a live stream reaction from Brian on Thursday with our first... full-length Nintendo Direct in over a year and a half. Well, like 18 months have passed since we've had a full-blown Nintendo Direct.
531 days, I believe it was.
Not that anyone is counting.
Not that anybody's keeping track.
Jeez Louise. So let's see. 365, 180, add that. Now, okay, so a little under a year and a half, but even still, that's pretty close.
Still way too long.
Way too long. And I know that a lot of things got messed up with COVID, release dates and expectations, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, but still, though, but Xbox or Microsoft and Sony both released systems in that time. So,
oh, yeah. It's been a wildly, you know, busy year in terms of everything that's happened and just very little from Nintendo. And we didn't know much that was coming out of Nintendo this year at all outside of like Monster Hunter Rise coming out in March, Bravely Default coming out this week. And then that was mostly it. There were a couple other things here and there. Pokemon Snap is coming out soon. That's the other thing. But that's really it. That's all we knew from Nintendo. And so this was sorely needed in order to put some games on the slate for Nintendo. And boy, did we get some games on the slate for Nintendo. We're just going to kind of work down the list, talk about each of the things that are going to be coming to the Nintendo Switch. Most of it was meant to be in the first half of 2021. Now, they didn't stick entirely to that. There are some things that are pushed out a little ways. But let's work through this list a little bit and see what we get. The first thing right off the bat was a Smash Ultimate announcement for a new character, and that's Pyra and Mythra from the Xenoblade Chronicles series. I believe that they're shadow fighters of each other. Now, you don't play a lot of Smash Brothers, do you, Dan?
I don't. I do want to get into it. It is something that I think would interest me. I just feel like now that I'm like so far behind the eight ball in this game that I would just get my ass kicked, so that probably wouldn't be a whole lot of fun. Yeah, exactly. I know people are just
people
know
are
this
very,
game.
Very good.
Yeah.
But yeah. That being said, Smash Brothers is, in my opinion, I think it's the best fighting game. It's my favorite fighting game. Now, I haven't played it in some time. I don't have the last few DLC characters. And I'm not really a huge Xenoblade fan, and so I don't think the Pyra and Mythra release as Smash characters does a lot for me. But there are people that just die for Xenoblade.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that through the roof about this, getting more representation from Xenoblade into Smash Brothers and more recognition of it from Nintendo entirely, I think is a huge deal for that fan base and from Nintendo as well. I think that's huge. But I did have a prediction earlier this year about new Smash fighters, and neither of them were on there. And so they really need to start listening to the podcast and adding the fighters that I request if I'm going to get that prediction right.
I know, right? Like, come on, Nintendo. Start listening. Listen
it's
to
pretty
this man
inconsiderate
and what he has to
when
say.
You think about it.
Yeah, how rude.
That they don't do the fighters that I demand.
I know. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Absolutely pretty terrible. After that, we got an announcement that Fall Guys Ultimate Knockout is coming to the Nintendo Switch. I think that this was totally inevitable with the success of Fall Guys and just how popular it's been. And it's also going to be coming to Xbox now. Obviously, that wasn't announced during the Nintendo Direct, but it was announced afterwards that the exclusivity on the PlayStation is up. And later this year, it will be coming to the Switch and to Xbox. And I still play Fall Guys sometimes, I'm not going to lie.
If I have a few minutes and I want to jump into a quick game or something, I'll play a little Fall Guys. I kind of hope, like, I'd be very interested for this on Switch. I think it would be a perfect Switch in handheld mode, especially. I kind of hope that they do cross progression. That way I could have all this stuff unlocked and I wouldn't be starting over. So I would
be shocked if they didn't do that. And I don't know if they do that already between PlayStation and PC.
I don't think they do.
Ooh, that's tough. See, that's a tough pill to swallow because there are so many collectibles and cosmetics in that game.
Exactly. And who wants to start over and grind all those? So I think it would be, I know it's hard to do on the back end. At least I think it is. Game builder expert, but
sure.
It's something that they definitely need, and I think it would help, because so many people play it now. I mean, it's still a popular game.
It's still very popular, still huge on Twitch.
Yes.
And I would be more interested in picking this up if I knew that there was going to be, like, split-screen co-op, and I don't know if that's a thing. Because I play this on PC. I haven't played it on console, but that's something to look into at least. If I can play with multiple people on the same system, I mean that's a deal breaker. I mean definitely pick it up. My wife and I would play this.
Yeah, that could be a lot
nonstop.
Of fun for sure. Yeah,
Outer Wilds, a game that I've been putting a lot of time into recently on the Xbox, will be ported to Switch. That is on Xbox Game Pass. I said a lot of time, and it's a lot of time for me because I don't get a ton of gaming time, but I've put a few hours into Outer Wilds, and it's a game that Brian beat, and I reached out to Brian and I was like, Brian, I am so confused about what to do in this game. I have no idea. And he goes, that's everybody. He goes, you start this game, you're confused, and then things click and you start to understand what the hell's going on and you love it. And I was like, dude, I love it already. It's a really great game. It is on Xbox Game Pass, but getting it on the Switch, it's a very charming little game, but also has a lot of like deep, dark kind of themes to it in terms of death and resurrection and stuff like that. But it's a really fun game. I mean, I'm kind of sad I didn't play this game earlier when it had come out and kind of discussed it during those parts of the Game Awards and stuff, because it got a lot of recognition there. And I'm having a lot of fun with that. Then World's End Club is a new game that was revealed. This is a Danganronpa type game from Zero Escape Team. And you should have seen Brian. I don't know if you watched the live stream, but Brian, when this game was announced, dying. I mean, just, yes, like screaming, Danganronpa!
I was able to watch a little bit of it. I wanted to watch the entire thing, but just with work and how crazy that's been, you know, don't get me started on that. But I did not get to see his reaction, but, you know, we can go back and watch it on the YouTube Level Down Games, or I do believe his Twitch VODs are up for both of those reactions. So yeah, if you didn't get a chance to go check them out, please go do so.
Yeah, not a game that I'll probably pick up, but I know that Brian and Jessica both are big fans of Danganronpa, and that's going to be a game that without a doubt gets talked about here on this podcast because they will both be playing it. There will probably be a BG Mania.
I was just about to say, right? BG Mania is going to be coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Has to be.
Absolutely. Samurai Warriors 5, this is kind of a Dynasty Warriors Musou type game, got announced as well. There are huge fans of Musou. I've already talked about not my type of game, but this is a Samurai Warriors game that I know that people are just going to completely die over. This next announcement, though, I think took a ton of people by surprise. Brian was really excited about this, and I'm not going to lie, I'm pretty excited about it, too. It's the Famicom Detective Club. Now, the Famicom Detective Club were some Famicom, some NES games from way back in the day in Japan that never made it over to the States. And they're kind of these, from my understanding, because I've never played them, my understanding is that they're kind of like Ace Attorney type detective games where you have to, or Phoenix Wright, I guess, type detective games. And they are completely remastered, new animations, totally updated, and they're finally bringing the two original Famicom Detective Club games over to the Nintendo Switch, over to the States, and they look super cool. I mean, just to get these games from that long ago on the Switch now remastered and finally in the States, I think it's something that is a really cool nod to some of those old, I mean, kind of cult classic games from Japan.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm sure there's a bunch of games that were released only, you know, over there and never made it stateside. I think kind of, you know, I talk about the Earthbound Mother franchise. I believe there were some of those games released over there that never came stateside. So anytime you can get some unreleased games and then remaster and make them look great to come over to the States, yeah, people are going to go crazy for this.
Well, I don't think anybody has ever wanted Mother 3 to come over here, though.
I do.
I'm just kidding. That's all you hear about when a Nintendo Direct comes out. And they're like, Mother 3! Release Mother 3! Like, it's a meme now. It's the same as like Half-Life 3 and Left 4 Dead 2.
Yeah.
Or Left 4 Dead 3,
Half-Life.
Whatever. Portal 3.
Yeah.
Same thing. It'll never happen.
Never.
And it's stupid. Why wouldn't you bring Mother 3 over here? You would print money.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I'd buy like 15 copies of it. That's how excited
I would absolutely buy a copy of it. Just, I mean, for the history of having Mother 3, finally, of course I would have it.
Yeah.
Legend of Mana Remastered was the next announcement. And this is something that I didn't know that I wanted until I saw it. But I definitely want it. I like the Mana series. Secret of Mana and Trials of Mana are both really, really great games. And I've actually never played Legends of Mana. So that comes out this summer as well. Fully remastered. Some new graphical updates, but still has that classical style to it. I believe this was originally a PlayStation game. And I think that Sean's probably played it. Sean, growing up, all he did was play JRPGs on his PlayStation. So this is a game that I definitely will be looking forward to this summer. And then we got to see a new Switch console get announced. And that's for the Monster Hunter Rise version of the Switch console. There was a new trailer for Monster Hunter Rise. And then we got to see this new console that's black and it has kind of this gold flourish around the edges of it. Really, really neat looking. And I think Brian said he thinks he might pick one up because they want to get a new Switch to put upstairs on the TV so that they don't have to undock the one downstairs and take it upstairs with them when they go.
I mean, anytime you get a new, it looks cool, you know, Monster Hunter Rise is going to be
really, really cool.
I kind of feel like they may have missed an opportunity here. It is the 35th anniversary of Zelda. Why not a Zelda Switch?
Well, we do get some Zelda stuff.
I know.
And we'll get up to that. But yeah, I mean, I don't know that a ton of people are clamoring for a Monster Hunter version of the Switch. That being said, Monster Hunter has a gigantic fan base, and this is probably
huge.
Going to be the best-selling console of all time in Japan, the Monster Hunter Switch. So, I mean, this will sell. They always do. These limited edition versions of their consoles are brilliant, and they'll sell like crazy. Then we saw a new trailer for Ghost and Goblins Resurrection, and that will be coming to the Nintendo Switch as well, like we talked about. That'll be very, very soon, this week, in fact. And then, probably my most hyped announcement of the entire Nintendo Direct, Mario Golf Super Rush, which will be coming out this summer, a brand new Mario Golf from the Camelot development team. I am so excited. Dan, have you ever played the Mario Golf games?
I have, and what's perfect with these games too is this is something that I can totally jump in and play with my wife. You know, it's some of these like realistic golf games are a little bit harder, but like a Mario Golf game is just perfect for me and my wife to play and just have a good time with. Yeah, I am super excited for this. You're probably one of my favorite announcements from this Direct, but I am super excited to check this out.
This is something that a lot of people have been asking for. The Mario sports games are a little up and down sometimes. Now, the Olympic ones do pretty well. Mario Tennis Aces came out a while ago on the Nintendo Switch, and that did really well, but they dropped support for it pretty fast, and I think that put a lot of a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths.
Same thing with Mario Party, though.
Mario Parties have had...
Whew. Yeah, and it was fun, but there wasn't a lot to it. There was only, I think, like 4 different levels. I hope that there's a lot of support with this because they're, you know, with different courses and all kinds of stuff, they could really do some special stuff here. So hopefully they don't kind of follow those trends of releasing these games that people look forward to and then dropping support for it very soon.
This is so cool because the Mario Golf games, as opposed to like Mario Tennis or Mario Soccer, have these really in-depth kind of RPG story systems to them and story modes that you run through. And that's what makes the games really fun, is you get like this fully fleshed out sports game, but also this RPG story as well. And did you play Golf Story on the Switch?
No, I didn't. Okay. It's a game that I want to, but again,
you know,
it seems to be a common theme. Yeah, so it's something I definitely want to check out.
Golf Story was a lot of fun, but it's a golf game, but it's an RPG, and you can build your character up with certain stats. You get new gear here and there, and it's so cute and so fun, and they're making Sports Story, which should hopefully be out this year. And if, I mean, that is one of my most looked forward to games of this year. But Golf Story was kind of a new age iteration on the Mario Golf series, in that they added in this story and RPG elements to it. And that Camelot is making a new Mario Golf, this instantly jumped up my list of one of my most looked forward to games of the entire year. And that's, I mean, considering everything that's coming out this year and announced for this year, there are some big name things that are happening this year. I cannot wait for Mario Golf Super Rush. One of the things that I thought looked really cool in this one, and I don't know if you saw the trailer, but there's this like sprint mode, this like golf rush mode, where 4 people are playing and they hit the ball, and then you have to run to your ball. It doesn't take you to your ball. You have to sprint to your ball. And there's items on the course that like help you run faster and rocket towards your ball and stuff like that. And the first person to get the ball in the hole wins. So it turns into this race almost.
Craziness,
but there's like,
really?
Oh my gosh. It looks hilarious watching these characters sprint all over this golf course trying to get to their golf ball before the other people do. It looks so funny. I cannot wait for this game. I think it looks like a total blast.
Yeah, definitely on the radar for sure to be picking up. And there's not a whole lot that, at least Switch-wise, that I'm looking forward to. This is definitely one of them.
Next, we saw No More Heroes 3. A new trailer was shown off for that. And I know a lot of people are looking forward to that. I've never played a No More Heroes game, but I'm really kind of thinking about picking up this one because it looks ultra silly, but really fun. And then we got a new announcement for a game called Neon White, which I'm still not entirely sure what this game is. they showed off some gameplay for it, but it starts off looking like a Bayonetta game almost. There's you know, kind of cool guy in a jacket, and he's got some guns, and he's saying some, you know, cool guy lines. And then he starts parkouring off of walls and using, like, cards as a battle system. And when Brian was watching it, he says, you know, he goes, this has happened before, but I can't place what game it was. He goes, this looks really, really unique. And it does. If you didn't watch the trailer for Neon White, watch it, because it looks strange, but also like a lot of fun. This mirrors edge style parkour with a card based battle system. I don't know how to describe what they've done with this game, but it looks very, very unique.
Yeah, I mean, you've listed a lot of games that people are fans of that it looks familiar with, so I'm sure it'll get a fan base for sure.
DC Superhero Girls Teen Power was the next announcement. Now, this sounds like one that we would probably just brush over very quickly on most episodes, except while I'm watching this, and I don't want to type this in chat, you know, I'm like, I don't know, man, this kind of looks like a fun game. It's like this, there's like combat in it, but also RPG elements where people fight and you level up and you can get like costumes for your characters. And it's got, you know, this DC Superhero Girls cartoon and comic book that's been around for a few years now. It's those characters, Batgirl, Supergirl, and there's like, her name's not Bumblebee. I don't think it's Bumblebee, but there's like six of them.
Wonder Woman.
Is it Wonder Woman? It might be Wonder Woman. It might be like Wonder Girl, sure, or Star Girl or something like that. But I'm watching the direct and I'm like, you know what? This actually looks kind of fun. And then Brian goes, I don't know, guys. This game looks pretty fun. So I don't know that I'll end up picking up DC Superhero Girls Teen Power. Somebody in chat, I think it was Sev actually, during the live stream goes, Kyle is the target market for this game, which I understand that I'm a 34-year-old man, but he's not wrong. I mean, games like this I usually end up really enjoying, because they're cute and they're fun and they're low stress, and I really like that type of game. And I like superheroes. I like DC stuff. So I don't know. Like, this might be a game that I play eventually. And just because I may not talk about it publicly on the show or in chat doesn't mean I'm not playing this game, everybody. So if you don't see me talking about this game, don't assume that I'm not putting all of my time into DC Superhero Girls Teen Power. My kids would freaking love it too. They love that stuff.
Oh, it'd be perfect for you, right? Yeah, with kids and everything, they would go bonkers.
They would
over
die.
This.
They would die. Yeah. Next up was a 3DS port revealed of Miitopia, which is this slice of life game with your Nintendo Miis. And in the chat when this happens, Brian goes, oh my gosh. He goes, Jessica is going to die. Jessica is going to die when she sees this. And in the chat, Jessica's like, yes, yes. Like, I mean, dying. And I'm going to be honest, I didn't know anybody actually played Miitopia. But if there's somebody that played Miitopia, it's definitely Jessica. And I mean, it seems to be like this huge cult classic favorite game from the 3DS that people just loved.
I was just going to say, like, people love their Miis. Like, that is one thing. I remember that was like one of the cool things to do when the Wii first came out, was to create your little Mii characters. And,
oh yeah,
you could, you know, you were playing Wii Sports, you were going bowling, you know, it was just really cool.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And then
you're playing them with, like, I had like Conan O'Brien, Michael Jackson. You know,
oh,
you're,
yeah,
you're,
I mean,
making
people
like celebrities
going crazy with them.
Yeah,
crazy with them. So it's really cool to see that they're actually, you know, porting this over from the 3DS, because I know there is, like you said, there's a huge cult classic or cult following for these Mii characters.
You know what? I think the reason I never really got into the Miis is because I've never been able to make a Mii that looks like me. I think I have.
I made one that looked like me. Well, it was when I was rocking my goatee. I don't think I have one now with this big bushy beard that I have. But I was rocking my cool little goatee and I used to wear beanies and thought I was really cool. I made a me that looked just like me.
I've never been able to make one that like looks like me a lot. And I'm on Snapchat with a bunch of my friends, and on Snapchat there's those Bitmojis, and
okay,
I can't,
yeah,
make a Bitmoji that looks like me either.
Hmm.
And something
maybe it's
about
just
my face
thing.
Is maybe I'm just
maybe
too
you
ugly.
Need to, maybe there's a group for people that can't get
I need a support
emojis.
Group.
Yeah, maybe there's a support group out there for people that can't get their online characters to look anything like they are in real life.
It's kind of frustrating because the other three people that I talked to on Snapchat, their Bitmojis look, I mean, exactly like them. It's creepy just how good they were able to get their Bitmojis to look like them. And mine's just kind of like generic white guy, which hurts my feelings. I can't get a Bitmoji or a me to look like me, unfortunately. I've got a big nose and like a sharp jaw, and I think that's part of it.
Okay. Oh.
So I don't know. Like my real pointy nose. Maybe that's part of it. I don't know. Next up.
Oh, man.
But we go off the rails. And we see, we don't need Brian here to go off the rails.
No, we don't.
Next up was a new update that starts, I think, this week. But a lot of the new items hit at the beginning of March. It's a Mario-themed update for Animal Crossing New Horizons. Lots of Mario costumes, Mario blocks. You can get the brick blocks, the question mark blocks. A lot of shells and stuff from the Mario games are going to be added in as items that you can place in your game. And then, yes, just like you said, pipes. You can put a green pipe somewhere in your island and another green pipe somewhere else and warp across your island. And this, I think, is what everybody's looking forward to. It's a cool little item that, you know, it obviously a throwback to the Mario series, but really increases the functionality of being able to get around your island quickly. And honestly, kind of makes me want to go in and play some Animal Crossing just to get the sport pipe.
Yeah, I haven't played Animal Crossing probably since like a month and a half after its release.
Loser!
So maybe I should dust off the copy of Animal Crossing, boot this up on Twitch on my stream, and see how desolate my island has become. Overgrown
Everybody's
with weeds,
dead.
I'm sure. Yeah, that would be
All
crazy,
the
right?
Animals have, it's... No one's been feeding them, and so like Lord of the Flies, one animal remains, just feeding off the corpses of the others. Tom Nook is the only one there.
Yeah, and he's probably still living in like this luxurious like castle
blood around his
house.
Lips.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Got all the turnips in his basement.
Oh my gosh. Star Wars Hunters was announced. All we got was kind of a cinematic trailer for this. Apparently, it's a third person shooter in the Star Wars universe. We know nothing else about it. I know it's going to be cross-platform. Multiple platforms are getting this. Probably free to play, I would imagine, with some battle pass type stuff. That seems to be kind of the go-to for this type of a game. But I don't know. We don't know a lot about Star Wars Hunters. But my second most hyped announcement came right after that, and that was for a new game called Project Triangle Strategy. Now, Project Triangle Strategy is being developed by Square Enix, and it's being developed by the team that made Octopath Traveler. And if you remember, Octopath Traveler was the project name as well. It was Project Octopath Traveler, and everybody liked that game so much that they said, nope, let's keep it. Octopath Traveler, let's do it. And so then now we've got Project Triangle Strategy, and it's the same type of graphical style where it's this, it's a sprites, these 8-bit sprites, or yeah, I think they're 8-bit sprites, yeah. But it's lots of very dynamic lighting. There's some camera blur in the distance. It's a really, really cool graphical style, and I think Octopath Traveler had probably my favorite new graphical style in many years when that game came out, and I played a lot of that game. I never beat it, but I know that Brian did, and he loved it too. And everybody that played Octopath Traveler seemed to really love it. This looks like I'm going to love it even more because it employs a tactics style gameplay like Ogre Tactics or Final Fantasy Tactics. And I like that more than I like the turn-based JRPG gameplay. And so this is a game that speaks to me so personally and so intimately that I cannot wait. Now, it's not coming out until next year, but there is a demo that's available on the Nintendo Switch that I didn't play through. I hate playing through demos because it gets me too excited for a game and then I get sad when it's over and I can't play it anymore. So I did not play the demo. I know that Brian downloaded it and played it. And if he was here, he'd be able to talk about it. Maybe he'll talk about it next week. But very, very excited for Project Triangle Strategy. I kind of hope they keep the name too, Triangle Strategy.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, Octopath Traveler kind of rolls off the tongue pretty nice, too. So tribal strategy, yeah, I like it. You're right. It probably have the same thing. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not big into JRPGs, but Octopath Traveler is a game that I, again, wanted to check out. I think the thing that stopped me from maybe wanting to check it out is, wasn't it kind of like a lengthy game? Wasn't it like 50 hours?
It is lengthy, and in my opinion, it gets a little grindy after parts. You do have to grind and level up your characters some, and that wore on me to some degree, and I think that's probably why I never finished it. But this is like I said, it's a tactics game, it's a strategy game, and the triangle part of it ends up being into the story as well, and they explain that with the Salt Iron War that's going on in this world, and I have to imagine there's some triangle type element to the battle as well.
Of course,
I don't know, but it just looks like a really, really fun game. I love these tactics strategy RPGs. So, I mean, this is going to be, like I said, they took one of my favorite graphical styles and then turned it into a battle system that I totally love. So this is a game that I will absolutely 100% be picking up. Unfortunately, it won't be for a while, but I can't wait.
Yeah.
Next, we saw a new game announced called Knockout City. This is coming from EA. It's an arena game that looks like Dodgeball. Lots of different characters in this game that have unique abilities and skills, but the idea of the game is you run, pick up a ball, and try to hit people on the other team with that ball. If you have a quick enough reaction, you can catch the ball and throw it back towards the other person, just like in real Dodgeball. But, you know, I'm always wary when new kind of arena PvP games come out, especially when they're from EA, but this looks like a good time.
It does. I mean, Dodgeball, man. Dodgeball was one of my favorite parts of high school, going to gym class and playing Dodgeball. This is definitely on my radar, definitely something I'm interested in. But like you said, anytime something like this has EA attached to it, I'm a little hesitant, a little curious to see what little EA tactics they're going to bring to the game.
Oh, yeah.
But I am definitely interested in this for sure.
You know, I wonder if this is going to be a paid game or a free-to-play game. I would imagine it's free-to-play with a Battle Pass type system. That seems to be, like I said, the way to go for games like this anymore. But, I mean, if it is free to play, absolutely a game I'll pick up and download because it looks like it's probably going to be a lot of fun. I mean, very fast action gameplay, you know, jump in and out of matches, play with your friends. Why wouldn't you try something like that out? Because it could end up being that next game that you play for the next 4 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, just sometimes with games catching on, you know, in the streaming universe, I mean, this is definitely something that could kind of hit that spark and really take off. It's got the potential, but you're right. Is it going to be a free-to-play game? Is this going to be something that's going to cost it? You know, it's hard to say, again, with EA, but it's definitely on my radar. I'm definitely intrigued.
Next up announced was the Ninja Gaiden Master Collection. Did you ever play any of these 3D Ninja Gaiden games?
I did not.
I didn't either. I haven't either, and I know that people speak very highly of them. The Ninja Gaiden games are very well regarded, and this looks it could probably be a lot of fun. It's three games that are all packaged together in this, and I don't know if there's any remastering that's done because I don't know the original games well enough to compare the graphics back and forth, but I know that people are very hyped about this. Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity is getting an expansion pass very soon, which looks like a lot of fun. Again, I'm not into Musou games. I almost picked this up just because I crave Zelda. My blood is Legend of Zelda. So I know a lot of people very excited about that expansion pass. The Saga Frontiers Remastered is getting a release date. That's coming up very soon. And then, finally, the third biggest reveal for me. I had three that I was really excited for, and this one's number three. But The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword HD was revealed. Now tell me, Dan, your thoughts on The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword.
So I remember picking this game up, I believe, if you pre-ordered it, or they either sold it with a gold-looking Wii remote.
So that was there was a deluxe edition. It was $70 or $80, and it came with Skyward Sword, a gold Wiimote, which I have.
Yeah, same here. I still have it. It's in my living room right now with all the Wii stuff.
and a CD for the soundtrack.
Yes, that's exactly what I got. We still have our Wii hooked up in the living room. We will occasionally play it from time to time. I never did beat this game because, like everybody else, I kind of hated the controls. So, and at first they kind of, you know, when they said they were going to re-release this, you know, you could use the Joy-Cons. And it was a little, I was a little scared that they were still going to have
Brian
the controls.
Brian is crestfallen in the reaction video when they say, and now you use the Joy-Cons for motion controls. Brian's soul leaves his body.
When I heard, finally got around to watching it, I probably kind of had the same thing. I'm like, oh no, I'm excited for this, but now I'm not going to want to play it. But then they do eventually say that you can just play it with a controller, that you don't need to have the motion controls. So that was a huge...
They've mapped the motion controls to the right control stick. And so if you want to slice, you know, right up diagonally, then you press right up diagonal, and that's the way he slices. Or you want to slice to the left, just flick the switch, you know, flick the Joy-Con left, and it goes. And so you can play it in handheld mode, you can play it on the Nintendo Switch Lite, and you no longer need those dreaded motion controls that everybody hated. Now, I played Skyward Sword when it came out, and I loved it. It's not my favorite Zelda game. Oh, yeah. Oh, of course.
Okay. See, I never beat it, so I'm excited to go back and beat it without these motion controls.
See, I talk about how Lindsay's a psychopath with certain games. She 100%ed Skyward Sword, got every collectible, every item. She goes crazy. She did the same thing with Breath of the Wild. She's a nut when it comes to Zelda games. She can't stop. And Skyward Sword also had this really annoying thing where every time you saved it and turned it off, and turned it back on, every item you picked up, you got an explanation for again, as if you had picked it up for the first time ever. And that was super annoying. And so I have to believe that they are doing away with that.
Yeah.
It's just completely incomprehensible that they would keep that in the game at this point. It's very, very annoying. They did upgrade the resolution. Skyward Sword does have some pretty fuzzy resolution to it sometimes, and this doesn't. They got rid of a lot of that. The resolution looks really good. The game looks great. Now, I can't say that I'm clamoring to play Zelda Skyward Sword again, especially for a $60 price tag, but... I mean, you know, come this summer.
I would say wait and maybe it'll go on sale, but Nintendo Switch games never go on sale.
Yeah, in fact, if anything, they'll stop printing it in 2 years and that game will be worth $140 in 3 years. So I will probably pick this up and I will probably play through Skyward Sword again because overall, I do think it's a great game.
Yeah, like I said, I never beat it because the controls were just frustrating. And sometimes, you know, you would die when you thought you had something, you'd end up dying. And it was just because of just how frustrating the controls were. So this is definitely something I'm going to want to check out and, you know, add to the Zelda games. I've pretty much beaten every Zelda game. This is one that I have not. So I will definitely probably be taking advantage of picking this up on the Switch.
Now, along with this, they also announced a new Joy-Con combo. And that's a Master Sword and Hylian Shield left and right Joy-Con. The left Joy-Con looks like it's the bluish color of the Hylian Shield with some of those markings on it. The right Joy-Con is purplish like the Master Sword and has some of those markings on it. And Dan, I am going to be the proud owner of a Hylian Shield and Master Sword Joy-Con because I've been waiting to get Joy-Cons for a while now. Ever since Wesley football spiked my Switch into the ground and kind of busted one of them. And one of my Joy-Cons has a really bad drift issue that I have to blow electrical cleaner into it every like 3 months or so. But that being said, these look so great, and I am so, so happy I waited to get new Joy-Cons until these are coming out because I will absolutely be picking up a pair of these Joy-Cons. This was actually one of my most excited things about the entire Direct were these new Joy-Cons. They look so good!
Yeah, I would imagine they're probably going to do a package deal, right? Kind of like what they did for when this game released for the Wii. Hopefully, maybe a game and Joy-Con, even though that won't be very cheap because Joy-Cons are
$80 or something like that, but
yeah, it's insane.
Yeah, I will be picking up a pair of these Joy-Cons. Like I said, I need new Joy-Cons anyways,
and why wouldn't I buy these?
Oh, they're gorgeous. They are gorgeous. Yeah. And finally, we did have a kind of their, you know, Nintendo in these directs, they do. We have one more thing to show you. And everyone's like, Metroid, like Zelda. But no, we got something that I'm not sure a lot of people knew was going to come or were really expecting. But Splatoon 3 gets this kind of early trailer, this early cinematic trailer. And it's a cute vibe going for it. The Inkling is riding on a train with these, you know, creatures next to her and stuff. And it's a really cute trailer. And she arrives in the city. I ended up calling it like Cybersplat 2077 because that's what it looked like once she gets into the city. But it, I mean, I'm not a huge Splatoon. I've never played the Splatoon games. But really cool trailer, and I know a lot of people love and just die over Splatoon. And so this is a really exciting announcement for a lot of people.
It is. I think Nintendo probably did, you know, was smart to kind of close with this. Because, yeah, you're right. I've never played a Splatoon game, but I know there are a ton of people that love these games. And, yeah, the trailer kind of makes me want to get into some Splatoon.
What was your most hyped announcement out of that Nintendo Direct?
Probably the Zelda. I think Zelda... Skyward Sword was probably one. Two would have been the Mario. I think those are probably my top two. I feel like I'm a mainstream Nintendo fan, right? Like I only look forward to like your Mario's, your Zelda's.
The first party titles.
Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of what I look forward to. The rest of the stuff I don't care about too much. I grew up on Nintendo, but you know, now with PlayStation and Xbox and all that, I'm give me the Zelda, give me the Mario, give me those games. That's what I'm looking forward to. So those were my top two out of this Direct.
Well, it felt really good to finally have a full on Nintendo Direct again. And again, most of this was only for the first half of 2021. And so we will be getting, you know, more Nintendo Directs in the future. Nothing about Pokemon was said in this, and I expect we'll get a Pokemon Direct before too long, hopefully talking about some new entries to the Pokemon series that will be coming soon, as well as some updated, maybe a new trailer on Pokemon Snap and some of the gameplay elements of that. That will be very exciting, I think. And then, you know, a later Pokemon or a Nintendo Direct later this year when we finally see some of the big hitters that'll be coming out at the end of 2021. I cannot wait.
Well, I mean, it is what, the 35th anniversary of Zelda and Metroid,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. You have to, like, you know, like Brian said before, you have to believe that they're going to do something to celebrate those series because they are such beloved series, Zelda especially, such beloved series in the gaming world.
Oh, yeah. We talk about it all the time. Look how many games are, you know, created with a Zelda-like theme in mind. So I mean, it's got a lot of influence, a lot of people love it, so hopefully Nintendo takes advantage and makes it a big thing, because I kind of feel like they dropped the ball a little bit with Mario's anniversary. So hopefully we really blow this out of the water, because they need to compete with PS5, they need to compete with Series X. We need something.
Well, I will be right there for it every step of the way. As long as they release some Zelda stuff, you can believe that I will be there. But that music right there means that it's time for a little Kickstart My Heart. And this is a game that Brian chose prior to us recording, but I really think this looks like kind of a neat game. The name of the game is Sky Climbers, a multiplayer city-building action RPG. There's a lot in that title, lots of different things, but let's get into this. It says, build your kingdom, choose your class, and tame monsters in this procedurally generated open-world RPG. This is a game that is not only fully funded, but has completely shattered its funding goal. They were initially asking for $25,000, and they are currently at $179,000 with 3,438 backers, and still 18 days to go. They're based in New York City. And this just looks like an incredible game. Let's get into this. It says you can build your kingdom, choose your class, tame monsters in this city-building open-world action RPG that takes place in a procedurally generated anime-themed metaverse. And I didn't get a lot of anime vibes off of it. I got some kind of... There's cel-shaded creatures, cel-shaded characters and graphics that look really neat. I mean, it's a very charming world. It says it's inspired by Breath of the Wild, Minecraft, Pokemon, and RTS games like Northgard. The most similar game on the market right now is Valheim, Valheim has been huge on Twitch and on Steam recently.
Yes,
it's one of the biggest early access releases on Steam of all time. Tons of people have been playing Valheim and have been really I mean, loving it. I've got some friends that have been playing it, and they can't put it down. They just
I want to check it out.
Rave about it.
I do.
Sky Climbers is a multiplayer cross-platform game with a massive, infinitely generated universe. It has real-time base building, villagers that will spawn in your stronghold, and managing of game currency and resources for your kingdom. You chop trees and mine for stone. There's real-time building mechanics, and each dynasty has unique architecture that you can build. You choose a class. There's Paladin, Mage, and Ranger that's announced right now. And if you go to the Kickstarter campaign, you can kind of look at each of the different facets of those classes. The Paladin gets these big, huge swords, and Ranger's obviously wielding a bow, and they can wear cloaks and kind of a stealth-oriented style gameplay. I don't know if they're planning any more than those, but I don't think they would need to. There's a lot of survival elements, fighting against mobs, farming, hunting, building a barracks with and commanding units. I mean, it seems like a very ambitious game.
It does.
Especially with the taming monsters. You can fight with monsters and they level up and evolve into new monsters. They learn new moves like Pokemon, like it said. There's base building, some RTS mechanics to it, survival mechanics, open world RPG combat. I mean, everything that you've ever wanted or wished for in a game, I guess this has it.
I mean, it's got a lot of moving parts, but I mean, for them to be blowing out their goal is ridiculous. I just did the quick math. It's about $50 a pledge is the average pledge.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that wanted to get into, I mean, some of the really big pledges on this, because I'm, let's see, you can get a...
Yeah, there's not a lot of cheap ones, really, so
the standard edition of the game is $30. If you want a copy of the game, then you need to pay $30 for it. And it's expected to ship in Q4 of 2021, so later this year. And
that just standard for PC, edition, though. Yeah, just for PC.
Just Q4, for PC, right? Consoles, yeah. Mobile, and Stadia to follow in mid-2022. But that standard edition does come with HD wallpapers, the soundtrack, a custom flash drive, and the digital art book. And so you can get the wallpapers, the digital soundtrack, and the custom flash drive for only $15, which, I mean, I'm not sure. Well, a lot of people have kind of bought into that just to get those items without the game key. But for $45, you can get the alpha edition, which gets you two game keys, as well as two alpha keys, which the PC alpha is expected to ship in Q2 of this year. So that's pretty darn soon. So you can get into this game, into the alpha edition, really soon with a friend for only $45. And that takes the price of the game down from $30 for you to $22 plus alpha access. And so that's really not a bad tier to jump into if this is a game that you think you're really going to enjoy. You can get a physical copy of the game, and that's for $65, and that comes with everything before it, including the two keys and the two alphas access as well. And then a lot of really high tiers. Let's see, there's the $2,500 Legendary Edition. Seven people have bought that. There's 10 total. Seven people have gotten in on that. They get a custom game controller, a 12-inch statue, a 12-inch canvas print, three plushies. Holy smokes.
I will say, though, for a game that has, you know, usually a lot of games we do, there's a lot of cheaper tiers to let people get in, you know, for real cheap. But for a game like this, it has a little more expensive tiers. There's a lot of value there, you know? There's not a lot of stuff.
Oh, sure.
You know, I can't justify spending $2,500, but it'd be cool to get a custom controller. You know, you're getting 12-inch statues, canvas prints. So, I mean, there's some value there. You're not getting completely, ripped off.
There was an early bird edition that was $20. You could get a game key for $20, but that's out now, and enough people have bought that's no longer available. And it looks like this is the first game. Paratope is the company. Looks like this is the first one that they've ever put on Kickstarter, and I'm unfamiliar with the name. I don't know that they've ever had anything backed before, but man, this is a game that I could really lose some time into, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it looks great. The art style, you know, looks awesome. And again, like we talked about, the moving parts and everything that you can do, it's definitely going to be a time-consuming game. And I mean, obviously, there's a lot of hype for it, considering it's Even since we started talking about it in a few minutes, it has now eclipsed over $180,000. It's got $300 more just in the time that we've been talking about it. So there is a lot of hype for this game. Holy smokes, man. That's a lot of money. You asked for $25,000 and you've got $180,000, and there's still 18 days to go. Like, holy shit.
This is a game that is going to reappear over and over in probably the Level Down Games podcast and elsewhere. I think that this is a game that's going to make a big splash when it releases later this year. I think that a lot of people are going to have eyes on this game.
Yeah, I am very intrigued in pledging.
Are you pledging?
I'm really thinking. I'm thinking about doing the $45 one just because I do like to get a second tier, you know, a second code to give away.
I was about to say, if you do the $45 one, let me know and maybe I'll Venmo you $22. We can split that one down the middle or something.
Yeah, that's something we can talk about off stream. I'm interested in doing that.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll I'll DM you. We'll slide into DMs
slide
later.
In
we'll talk
DMs.
About that.
Yeah, yeah.
So go check that out, Sky Climbers on Kickstarter. Really neat looking game. But that is going to do it for this week. We had a fun show. We missed Brian. We missed having Sean around this week as well. But I think we pulled it together here, Dan.
We did. I feel like we did all right. So yeah, hopefully Brian is proud of us.
Hopefully we made you proud, Papa. Hopefully we held up the standard of the Level Down Games podcast. And Dan, why don't you close us out with one of them good old Gary Vee quotes that we've come to love so much?
Here we go. This is a perfect one. Perfect one to close out the show. Love your family, work super hard, live your passion.
This episode of the Level Down Games podcast has been brought to you by leveldowngames.com. Please remember to leave us a rating and a review regardless of where you're listening. If you want more of us, check out youtube.com/leveldowngames and make sure you subscribe with notifications on, as well as twitch.tv/leveldowngames, again, with notifications on. Links to where we can be found on social media, as well as to our Discord server, and all other important information can be found in the show notes for the episode.